Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Tuesday, May 4th. Thanks for joining us. I'm April Austin.
And I'm Noah Robertson.
When the Speed Art Museum in Louisville, Kentucky, approached Breonna Taylor's mother about an exhibition in her daughter's honor, she was surprised. Tamika Palmer did not expect her daughter, who was shot in her apartment by police in 2020, to be remembered in this way, nor did she dream of being asked to help, she told NPR. The exhibition, Promise, Witness, Remembrance, which opened last month, not only celebrates Ms. Taylor's life, but also reflects an unusual collaboration that made the show possible. Along with involving Ms. Taylor's family, the museum sought advice from Black artists and Louisville activists. The result? A show of about 30 works of art, including portraiture, installations, and video, all created by Black artists. The exhibition also features photographs of the protests against racial injustice and police violence that erupted in the city last year. The Speed Museum has given the exhibition pride of place, clearing several galleries of its permanent collection to make room. Could this exhibit help heal a fractured community? Already some signs suggest the answer is yes. Local activists who wondered what to expect from an institution not known for its outreach to people of color came away moved by the experience. Many, like activist Jason Downey, were glad to see work exclusively from Black artists instead of, as he says, a bunch of white folks doing their interpretation of what they thought it should be. Ms. Taylor's mother, who contributed a timeline of her daughter's life, said it felt peaceful to be able to come to this place and just be filled with her spirit. Now, today's stories. Our first story. As they begin to emerge from the pandemic, Europe and the U.S. find themselves in different places with different priorities that reflect their different values and histories.
On Cape Cod in Massachusetts, they're expecting a record-breaking summer season as tourists freed from pandemic restrictions look to have some fun. But across the Atlantic, in Rome, Jeannie Ansuini, who owns a 480-year-old deli, cannot tell how long it will take to get over the 80% fall-off in business that she has suffered. As America's economy sets growth records, Europe has slipped into its second pandemic recession. But there are lessons for governments on both sides of the ocean. For the United States, which registered the highest COVID-19 death toll in the world, the lesson might be that Europe's national bureaucracies, built on a tradition of social welfare, are better suited to mitigate health and economic disasters. For Europe, it would seem that solving such crises requires the speed and size of federal action that Washington got right, and that the European Union just cannot match. Whether it be the scale of vaccination rollouts or the efficiency with which EU recovery funds are being distributed, the judgment of France's finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, is scathing. We have lost too much time. This story was reported by Laurent Belsey in South Yarmouth, Massachusetts, and Dominique Sogel in Basel, Switzerland, for The Monitor.
With the Senate and the nation closely divided, frustration over the filibuster has grown. Those in the majority tend to see it as an obstacle to progress. For those in the minority, it's about protecting their rights.
On Capitol Hill, there is an intensifying debate about whether the filibuster, a procedure that allows a minority group of senators to delay or block legislation, is a tool of principle or partisan obstructionism. Supporters say the filibuster acts as a guardrail on American democracy by preserving a voice for the minority party and ensuring that major legislation has support from both sides of the aisle. But critics say the filibuster is being exploited to obstruct urgently needed government action, blocking the will of voters. Issues killed by filibusters or threatened with filibusters over the years have ranged from the admission of new states to Panama Canal tolls to civil rights legislation, including anti-lynching bills, an anti-poll tax, and fair employment bills. With the tie-breaking vote of Vice President Kamala Harris and the support of every Democratic senator, Democrats could repeal or reform the filibuster, though so far Democratic Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona have said they are not in favor of scrapping it. This story was reported by Krista Case Bryant in Washington for The Monitor.
The face of hunger is changing in the U.S. It affects a broadening demographic and defies old stereotypes. But nimble organizations are adapting to match relief to need.
Odessa Davis is used to helping families as a public school teacher and summer camp director in Maryland's Montgomery County. But when the pandemic forced camps to close, the single mother realized her own family was in need. So she swallowed her pride and sought help to feed her 11-year-old son. Miss Davis is one of many Americans who struggled to put food on the table for the first time during the past year. As job losses skyrocketed, the number of Americans facing food insecurity reached 265 million in 2020, according to a Northwestern University estimate. To meet the rising demand, relief organizations had to get creative. In Washington, D.C., Capital Area Food Bank teamed up with Goodwill to distribute pre-packed boxes of food to families like Miss Davis's. Hillary Salmon, communications director of Capital Area Food Bank, says helping people work past the stigma of asking for help is an important step in combating hunger. Ms. Salmon says, "There's nothing more important than making sure you and your family are getting your basic needs met. Our partners are deeply committed to making sure everybody who walks through their doors is treated with respect, dignity, and support." This audio story was reported by Ibrahim Onofeko for The Monitor.
Equal opportunity is about more than opening the door a little to new hires, our columnist writes. Management that fosters an inclusive culture of trust can help everyone to thrive.
My co-author and I recently surveyed four races and four generations of American female desk workers, as well as 150 white male managers, writes Jacqueline Adams in today's commentary. When we asked about mentoring, we found female managers were more likely than men to help others, regardless of race or gender. A majority of white male managers said they give feedback to and receive feedback from other white men. That doesn't bode well for creating more inclusive workplaces. Yet the census predicts that by 2027, the majority of 18 to 29-year-olds in the U.S. workforce will be people of color. Change is inevitable and imminent. How do we prepare? My co-author and I recommend more training and retraining of managers to increase the number of transformational leaders. What does one look like? One leader who earned a perfect score from his team has open office hours once a week. Anyone who signs up gets 15 minutes to pitch a new idea, ask for assistance with a project, or just bond. Even more important, transformational leaders display cultural intelligence, an awareness and appreciation of racial, gender, generational, and all kinds of differences. In short, they create a genuine sense of belonging. You can find Jacqueline Adams' full commentary in today's issue.
All I really need to know, I learned from insects. Okay. Our reporter didn't quite say that, but with billions of cicadas bearing down, he's got the buzz on a way to approach the experience with humility and even wonder.
Billions of boisterous cicadas are about to burst forth in the eastern United States, and Nancy Hinkle is getting ready to hop in her car. Not to get away from them, to study and observe them in awe. Not everyone may share her degree of enthusiasm, but entomologists like her say these insects deserve some appreciation, and may even have some lessons for humans in our current times. They won't eat your flowers or veggie garden. Their locations vary for groups or broods that emerge on different cycles, all east of the Mississippi River. Brood 10, which has been recorded in descriptions dating back to the colonial era, is expected to appear this month in the District of Columbia and 15 states, and has already been spotted emerging in Georgia this week. These bugs are models of getting important work done below the surface, coming outside when it's warm and acting collectively when they need to. Ecology researcher Deanna Beasley in Tennessee says, "One of the things that cicadas can teach us is that we're all connected." This story was reported by Dwight Weingarten for The Monitor.
Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on the pandemic-induced boom in creativity. After a year of staying at home during the pandemic, more than half of Americans have picked up a new creative pastime, according to one survey. More than half say they are working more collaboratively from home than in the workplace. Another survey shows a boom in patents for new technologies to assist at-home work. All this was not expected a year ago. The great disruption of COVID-19 has led to a great burst of creativity, or at the least, a search for ways to foster and manage creativity. Christine Lagarde, president of the European Central Bank, says, "We have learned skills that we didn't have. We have experienced remote working relationships. We have not lost much in terms of productivity, quite sometimes to the contrary." One change is most noticeable. Companies no longer define productivity as how much a worker produces in a period of time. Rather, workers are judged for creativity and innovation. By that standard, many of the limits once set for work and for workers are coming off. As poet Maya Angelou said, "You can't use up creativity. The more you use, the more you have." That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow when we'll be kicking off a series of articles on respect, what it means, and how different definitions lead to different results. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how spiritual understanding uplifts and heals, even when circumstances seem dire. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Erica Page.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2021.